The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet, my calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendant, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. So last night there was a bishop, two monsignors, four or five priests, and three seminarians at a dinner that I was invited to. And I was kind of struck by, as I was reading this gospel, the fact that everybody, all of the clergy who was there had showed up, had their clerical attire on. And every once in a while, people like to point these things out. I can remember some of you know what CPE ministry is. It's called Clinical Pastoral Education, and that happens in the hospital. So not every single diocese requires their seminarians to do that, but many of them do. And so it's like an 11-week program that you do in the hospital to learn just how the hospital functions and all kinds of different things. And then there's also like an interpersonal group that you have in all of these different situations. And I also remembered in this day that we have, people don't always greet me kindly when they see that I have clerics on. It's the most mixed reception I've ever received in my life is once I became a priest. Some people are delighted, some people are absolutely shocked, and then some people seem to be disgusted. So I get all range of emotions when people see me coming that way. But one of the things I remember that happened is last night, we're invited to a dinner, and then everybody shows up appropriately dressed for who they are, and in this CPE session, I'd realized throughout my time, every single person in our group, including all the staff chaplains there, all asked me about wearing clerics. And I thought about this and I prayed if I was going to address it with the group, nervous about addressing it with the group. I was just like, I'm kind of the elephant in the room and I don't really want to call myself out. I was kind of a little bit of afraid about that situation. But I prayed about it for a little while and then I decided, yes, I will. So I had brought to everybody's attention and I chose my words very careful as I try to do. And I said, when I say everyone, I mean everyone. when I say this word, not just like kind of a hyperbolic everyone, but I said, everyone in this room has asked me about why I wear clerical attire. And I responded, I said, would you say the same thing to me if I was a woman and I decided I needed to wear a burqa because of my background and stuff? And they were shocked that people who don't judge anybody were actually judging me. they were sort of dumbfounded by this. And I said, it's just like my attire is appropriate for who I am and who I represent, so that people know where they could go. And then shockingly, some of my brother and sister residents sort of came to my defense, none of which were Catholic, but one of them was a female Episcopal deacon. And she spoke up and she said, you know, more than anybody here in this room, more than any of the staff chaplains, I've seen Deacon Peter, I was a deacon at the time, Deacon Peter get approached by more people in this hospital than anyone in this room. You know, it's just like, isn't that what we're here for? And it became this really crazy lesson about, accepting the Lord's invitation and allowing other people to come to him and realize that that's the case. And you could see like flat out obstinacy and ignoring of the Lord's invitation in this particular parable that he gives to people. And the great sign of that is that even somebody who is invited is not wearing the wedding garment. And one of the things that's so important about that is that this is not something that the guests would provide for themselves. It's something that the host, the bridegroom, would provide for the wedding guests. So in this case, the garment is even provided and the person is still not wearing it. That's why the treatment is so harsh, because it's like an outright rejection of who God is and who he's calling you to. You know, and that's the big lesson here, is that are we outright just rejecting Christ, or we don't even want to be in its presence because we choose other things in life? And you can see that. They give that really basic example. It's like, oh, when one went to the farm, one went to his business or something like that. It was just like, I'm just going to choose something else. But the thing that we always end up being reminded of is that the kingdom of God is the reality. That's the real reality that we're looking for. This is such a temporary thing. You know, we're literally looking at something temporary as compared to something eternal. And so if you don't set your eyes and your hearts on eternal things, then you literally only have the wrong places to go. Then your priorities are completely out of whack. St. John Eudes was a great priest who did a lot for the formation of seminarians. And he also had a great devotion to the hearts of Jesus and Mary. You know, if you live in the heart of Jesus and Mary, then you'll be oriented towards the heavenly kingdom. But if you get caught up in earthly realities and judging people by their appearance and calling them out for representing Christ, woe to you, you know, as the Lord said. You know, that's a crazy thing. But like I said, it's something we all have to kind of be prepared for, I think, going forward in our lives. We don't really live in a land of Christendom anymore. That's ended. And so, as the Lord tells us and prepares us, you know, expect persecution, because it's going to happen. But all the more should we continue to represent our Catholic faith. You know, me and my state in life and my clerics, and, you know, you and yours. Like I say, many of you wear crucifixes and crosses and saints' medals and different things like that. I think those become all the more important in our daily life. Many of those symbols were born out of an apostolic time of persecution, when people started to be like, how can I identify myself as a follower of Christ? And that's when they started to wear the symbols of Christ and his saints and his followers. So that's the age that we're really living in. It's more of an apostolic age than an age of Christendom, where everybody believes in Christ anymore. Sadly, we're past that. So we're in a time now that I think is going to be more oriented towards persecution and martyrdom. That might sound like a dark thing, but I don't think that I'm speaking something false. I think it's something that many of you notice and might realize as well. So he needs heroic witnesses who are willing to wear Christ on the exterior and not hide that from people. And so that's what we're called to do. God bless you all.